Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends. Better world's come. There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world to come and don't you see? Good evening and welcome. I'm your host, Rick Spezak, News Director of Progressive News Network. I want to thank you and welcome you on behalf of myself and my co-producer, Mickey Royce, of Goddess Worldwide. And I got to tell you, we have a fantastic show tonight, and this has been such a week, friends, such a week. Better Worlds Are Coming is a heck of a good way to start the show, because as you know, there is some really amazing stuff going on there. From the good stuff to the bad stuff, from the challenging stuff to the stuff that's just amazing and fantastic. Let's start with a couple things that are really important right off the bat. Number one, Helen Caldicott. Dr. Helen Caldicott, an internationally known and respected advocate on nuclear environmental issues, will be speaking in Tampa this week, October 6th. Make sure you contact Physicians for Social Responsibility in Tampa to get information. It's open to the public. It's free. Get aware. Know what's going on. Let someone talk to you who's got the facts. You're not going to get them in mainstream media. My God, they haven't even mentioned what's going on in Japan. And, of course, those of you who know what's going on in Japan is going on across the Pacific. It's impacting the West Coast right now, primarily, but its impact is being felt across the United States. There is a website, and I'll be putting it up on Progressive News Network. There's a website you can actually look at the ongoing real-time monitoring of radiation across the country. You need to know. Helen Caldicott, October 6th, brought to you by Physicians for Social Responsibility in the Tampa area. Dr. Helen Caldicott, make sure that if you're on the west coast of Florida, you are there. Okay, another important bit of news. As you know, the ongoing occupation of Wall Street is going on. Here's the numbers you should know. The Deputy Commissioner for Public Information for the New York City Police Department, the phone number is 646-610-6700. The Mayor's Office in New York City, 212-639-9675. The New York Police Department switchboard, 646-610-5000. 646-610-5000. Central Booking, 212-374-3921. The First Precinct Office, 212-334-0611. You let them know what protect and serve means. Many of New York City's finest do understand, do know. They know who and what is going on down there, who's being protected. So when those Wall Streeters are toasting champagne over top of the mob, when NPR says, well, there's nothing going on, there's no leaders, and by the way, there's nobody important there, did they not notice that the American people are there, that American citizens are there? That's what's important. This country, I don't know if you forgot, we the people, NPR, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. And you know what? The union needs a little more perfection. That's for sure. Also, I'll be giving those numbers out again at the end of the show. Another thing you need to know. The House GOP has made announcements about their new budget plan. Hey, guess what? Their plan is to cut money for people. Oh, no taxes on corporations, no taxes on millionaires. But they think that you have too much money. They think the poor should be paying more. They want to cut Pell Grants. Anybody out there go out to school? have a child that went to school on a Pell Grant? Well, they want to cut the Pell Grants. They want to cut all the heating subsidies to the elderly. Because, after all, wouldn't it be better if grandma and grandpa just froze to death? My God, get them off the dole, you know? And in addition to that, of course, once again, that old war horse they bring out, they'll be killing the president's health care plan, as modest as it is, despite what a giveaway it is to the insurance companies. The charade has to go on. And they also, of course, want to gut NPR and destroy it the rest of the way. So there you have it. Interesting story going on right now from the BBC. They interviewed a Wall Street trader, and he had some interesting things to say. I want to read you this because it's really amazing. This guy was really upfront. I'm going to read you that in a minute, but I do want to tell you who our guests are tonight. We've got Ed Wujak coming on, who's going to talk to us about the October 2011 protest in Washington. He is helping coordinate information here in Florida. We've got Susan Smith, president of the Progressive Democratic Caucus. Susan has been a longtime Florida activist in the Democratic Party and in the progressive community. She is a wonderful woman who has done so much to help progressive causes here in Florida. We are so honored to have her with us. Also, we're going to have Amy Tidd coming on, who is another longtime Florida activist. She's also rolling out a new web show, and she'll be telling us about that. She'll be telling us about the work that she's doing right now. So we want to welcome Amy Tidd. Then we'll be joined by Mario Piscatella, a political activist and consultant who's on the road right now with his candidate. So he's going to give us some insight into what he sees is going on in the political races right now. By the way, if you get C-SPAN, there is something on besides Heritage Foundation shows. If you get a chance, they're going to rebroadcast a three-hour-long interview and chat with Michael Moore. He's got a new book out. You have got to hear this. It's unbelievable. Set your recording machines on stun. Make sure you get it. CNN Midnight tonight. Michael Moore talking about his new book, Here Comes Trouble, and also the work he's been doing since he was a kid, running for school board and getting elected while he was still in high school. Amazing stories, just amazing stories. The man is absolutely on the right side of history. And I'll tell you what, you listen to that, and it just gives you plenty of room to hope and plenty of room to help. Also, of course, the incredible professor, Dr. Warren, is running for the Senate, thank God. Imagine that, an active, thinking progressive in the Florida, in the National Senate. It's going to be amazing. And despite the fact that she's raised a fraction of the money that Brown has raised, it's something like 1/10 or 1/15 of what he's raised. Of course, he's getting it from traders, from bankers, from mortgage brokers. Who could imagine that? But we have to make sure that that woman gets into the Senate. We need her desperately in the Senate. Okay. This is a story that, you know, it's not going to surprise anyone, but you have to hear this guy. His name is Alessio Rastani. He's talking about the European component of this whole crisis. And the quote, this is up on YouTube from the BBC. He says, it's going to crash and it's going to fall pretty hard, because markets are ruled right now by fear. Investors and big money, the smart money, I'm talking about the big funds, the hedge funds, the institutions, they just don't buy this rescue plan. That's the European rescue plan. They basically know that the market is toast. They know that the stock market is finished. They basically know the market is toast. And they know that the stock market is finished. The euro, as far as they're concerned, well, they don't really care. Now, this guy's a trader. They're moving their money away to safer assets like treasury bonds. Ooh, gee, wasn't the U.S. Treasury just downgraded? Oh, but excuse me, the guys know what their value is. That's where they're going. The 30-year bonds and the U.S. dollar. So it's not going to work. So Maxine Croxall, the BBC interviewer, says, well, we keep hearing that whatever the politicians are suggesting, it's all kind of fuzzy. She says, woolly, isn't it? I mean, can you pin down exactly what would keep the investors happy? She's trying to address the fact, saying that it's all run by fear. So she says, well, what would make them happy? What would make them feel more confident? And Alessio Rastani says, well, that's a tough one. Personally, he says, it doesn't matter. I'm a trader. I don't really care about that kind of stuff. If I see an opportunity to make money, I go with that. So for most traders, we don't really care how much they're going to do to try to fix the economy, how they're going to fix the whole situation. Our job is to make money from it. And personally, I've been dreaming of this moment for 3 years. He's been dreaming of this crash. Personally, he says, I have a confession to make. I go to bed every night and I dream of another recession. I dream of another moment like this. Why? Because people just don't seem to, well, maybe remember. But the 30s depression, the depression of the 30s, wasn't just about a market crash. There were some people who were prepared to make money from that crash. And I think anybody can do it. Isn't just that some people in the elite can make money. It's an opportunity. When the market crashes, when the euro and the big stock markets crash, you, if you know what to do, if you have the right plan set up, you can make a lot of money from this. Gee, that's like those people that knew in advance that the airline stocks were going to take a dive. Ah, I see. Is that like insider trading? Then he goes on and says, for example, hedging strategies is one. Then investing in bonds, treasury bonds, that sort of stuff. Maxine Croxall, really kind of puzzled where he's going with this. She says, well, if you could see the people around me, she said, jaws have collectively dropped at what you just said. I mean, we appreciate your candor, she said, but it doesn't help the rest of it, does it? And it doesn't help the Eurozone. And Alessio Rastani, the open mic, the unfiltered truth says, I will say this. I would say this to everybody who's watching. This economic crisis is like a cancer. If you just wait and wait, thinking that this is going to go away, just like a cancer, it's going to grow and it'll be too late. What I would say to everybody is get prepared. It's not a time right now to wishfully think that the government is going to sort things out. Then he says the kicker line, the governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world. Goldman Sachs doesn't care about this rescue package. Neither do the big funds. So actually, I would just tell people, I want to help people. People can make money from this. It isn't just traders. What they need to do is to learn how to make money from a downward market. And the first thing people should do is to protect their assets, protect what they have, because in less than 12 months, my prediction is that the savings of millions of people is going to vanish. This is just the beginning. So I would say be prepared and act now. The biggest risk people can take right now is to not act. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think he really said a mouthful right there. Governments don't rule the world. Goldman Sachs rules the world. So I guess with that kind of reasoning, when the president hired guys from Goldman Sachs like Summer and Geithner, well, heck, he was putting the right guys in charge because these guys have been running it secretly all along. Well, enough of that. My first guest is here. Let me welcome the inestimable, the great and honorable Mr. Ed Wujek. Ed.
Good evening.
Ed,
how
welcome.
Are you this evening?
Very good, my friend. Very good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. I overheard the last bit of that little speech and pretty creepy. But anyway, and before that, actually, what I've been trying to think of, you know, what to talk about tonight. And actually, I had listened to Michael Moore this week as well.
Uh-huh.
He was interviewed by Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Earlier in the week. And he told a very interesting story. I guess it's one of the stories from his book. anyway, he talked about when he was in high school, at graduation, he saw something. I mean, one of his fellow students was treated badly by a teacher.
You're talking about the string tie incident.
The string tie incident, right. The student was told, they were told to wear ties, the guy wore a string tie, and then the authority figure, whoever it was, said, "That's not a tie, you can't graduate, get out of here." And Michael Moore, he was standing there, and he didn't say anything. And later on, he realized that he really should have said something. He should have protested the unfairness, that it sort of made him vow to not keep his mouth shut.
To not sit idly by anymore.
Yeah, to not sit idly by. And, you know, I found that an interesting story because I think it's a universal human experience. Something happens near you, and you know it's wrong. You know it's bad. You know there's something. Someone ought to say something, but you don't. You shut up because, you get in trouble, you get embarrassed. You know, various things, you just kind of let it go. And I think we're at a moment like that in our history. And this actually brings me to the October 2011 actions, because the thousands of people that are converging on Washington D.C. this week have looked at the country specifically and say, "Hey, there's something wrong here, and we can't shut up." And I know that's how I feel about it, because what do you do? What you just see rampant dishonesty, rampant cruelty, rampant just evil, just plain evil, all around you. And what do you do? And so what the folks at the October 2011 movement have decided to do is to get together and yell about it and make a point and protest it and say, "This is wrong, this should not go, this is wrong, and we want it to stop, and we're going to jump up and down, scream and yell until it stops." And it's actually, it's all related stuff. I remember the stories about Martin Luther King back from the 60s. I mean, he was a civil rights leader. That's where he started. But then he started talking against the war. And people said, no, you can't talk against the war.
That's not your job.
That's not your job. You're a civil rights leader. And he said, "Hey, guys, it's all one machine."
Yeah.
And then he, you know, and when he was killed, he was in, what he was working on was a garbage collector strike. So he was working on economic justice, which is not civil rights, which is not anti-war, but it's all part of the same machine. And that is actually the kind of the subtitle of the October 11th group, which is Stop the Machine, because we realize that everything is related. There are no single issues anymore. Militarism and corporatism are all one issue. Environmental degradation is and education. Everything is related. And so you can't just protest one thing. You got to kind of protest it all. And our hope in going to Washington is to inspire others, to look and say, "Hey, this ain't right. We got to speak too." And the whole idea is to get something rolling. I think that in the last couple of weeks, the folks in the Wall Street occupation have really gotten something rolling there. And you know, it's easy to criticize something like that. On the other hand, they've managed to create something quite powerful. And so I think that they're doing a wonderful job of getting the American autumn rolling. We have
an
Arab spring, and so now it's the American autumn.
Absolutely. You know, we've got a Occupy Miami's in the works. Occupy Tampa's already started. And I think it's ironic that the little tiny bit of corporate media that they've gotten has been to criticize the absolutely wrong end of the telescope. They said, well, you know, nobody important's really there. Well, excuse me, the American people are there. It's important. You don't need a celebrity to make an important statement. They said, well, it's not a one coherent message. No, because as you say, these are all interrelated. We don't have to say right now the government's killing people without a trial. You don't have to say that. That's not the only problem. But it's related to what kind of priorities the government's trying to establish when we can't afford schools or roads or bridges, but we can afford to send a $9 million missile to kill one guy.
Yeah, it's like the there's a document called the Progressive Budget, which was put together by the House Progressive Caucus a while back. And in the preamble to the budget, they point out that a budget is a statement of values. A budget tells what's important to you because that's where you spend your money. And so what does our current budget say about our values? Nothing good.
Ed, can you stay with me? I want to bring Susan Smith on, and because I do want you to talk about some of the specifics about the October 2011. Can you stay on?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Let me bring Amy on. Hello, Amy. Excuse me, Susan.
Hey, hey, Rick. Can you hear me?
I sure can, Susan. You're coming in loud and clear. Welcome,
good.
My dear. Welcome. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm great. Thanks for having me this afternoon or this evening. I guess it's crossed over into evening now.
Well, you know, Susan, there's so many things I want to ask you to talk about. Why don't you set the agenda? Tell us some of the things that we need to know right now.
Well, I think one of the big things on my radar is the Awake the State Summit that's going to take place in Orlando on October 22nd and 23rd. We're trying to get people signed up for that now. We're going to have a day of training and organizing on Saturday the 22nd. Then the 23rd we'll have LegiCamp like we had in February, so that we can talk about issues that will be coming before the Florida legislature. So we're trying to bring together the people who particularly are interested in the issues and leaders in the different interest areas around the state. So that's one thing. Then we have the Democratic Convention the next weekend in Orlando, and that will be the weekend of the 29th and 30th, and we'll have our very first Progressive Caucus meeting during the
congratulations.
Thank you. Well, congratulations to you too. It'll be on Saturday morning at 7:30. So I hope we can get progressives out of bed that early.
You know, I did want to ask you. I know that the Progressive Democratic Caucus is what's preliminarily accepted or tentatively accepted, has to be voted on by the Florida party. Have you been involved in any negotiations with the state party, or is there anything formally been done on that, or is that going to wait until the convention to actually happen in a meeting or something? Can you speak to that?
We're actually through the first and the biggest step, which is being approved by the Clubs and Caucuses Committee. We submitted our paperwork, our bylaws, and our we held elections via conference call, and we got all of that turned in by the end of June, 1st of July, and then the Clubs and Caucuses Committee met on August 8th in St. Augustine. I think it was the 8th, and we were approved by the Clubs and Caucuses Committee, and that really is supposedly the biggest hurdle. So they will now recommend that we are approved by the, I think it's the Central Committee of the Democratic Party, and that should just be a pro forma vote. But we will be having our meeting before that, and the party, you know, has released space for us to have our meeting. So that bodes well, I think, for their approval of what we're doing.
Well, good, good. You know, there's been some controversy here and there, and I feel it's important to bring it up, where in the past some of the statewide candidates have been sort of, well, let's not put too fine a point on it, kind of selected by the state. and haven't gone through a primary vetting process. And I know there's some discussions in Palm Beach about that. Have you heard anything in either, you know, through the state or out in your Tampa area about those sort of things?
I think what the state party is trying to do is avoid unnecessary primaries because they don't like messy, dirty primaries that cost people a lot of money. And they are hoping to get DECs to endorse maybe down kind of at the grassroots level so then they can take it to the next step. At least I think that's what's happening. Palm Beach County is sort of the trial balloon for that, and they're having a lot of pushback on it. And our caucus board members had a meeting, well, along with any members that wanted to participate in the call, and we decided to make a recommendation to the party that we would support clean primaries because we think it's very important, and it helps our candidates. It helps them become stronger, and it's, so that's going to be the recommendation that we make. And I think a lot of other people feel the way we do. We feel like it's divisive not to be able to have primary challenges because the people who are supporting the other candidates, whoever those may be, get really disillusioned and disenchanted when their candidate isn't allowed a level playing field within the party.
You know, last time I did have a chance to go to the last state convention, and there were some candidates there making speeches and that sort of thing. Have you heard anything? Is there an agenda that's been published yet for the state convention?
Well, Joe Biden will be there on Friday evening for a fundraising dinner, and different county parties I know are getting tables. We're going to have a conference call in a little while. Our DEC is about getting a table for that event because that is a big fundraiser for the Florida Democratic Party. And then Bill Nelson, I think we're doing a luau, sort of an informal party, and I don't think there's going to be a charge for that. And I think it's going to be kind of in honor of Senator Nelson to get him reelected. And, you know, I know a lot of progressives have not been too favorable toward Senator Nelson in the past, but I really think for the last year or so, he's been much better on the issues, and I think when we, you know, I'm more in favor of telling people why they should vote for somebody and not why they shouldn't vote for somebody, but when you look at the alternatives to Bill Nelson out there, I'm going to work as hard as I can for Senator Nelson this go around.
He sure isn't Rubio, that's for sure.
No, he's not Rubio, and I'm afraid Adam Hafner would be Rubio on steroids. maybe not George Lemieux, but some of the other options out there are pretty terrible.
Well, that's wonderful. I know you're bringing so much good effort to this whole process, and I have to tell you, I have had the good fortune to know you now several years, and you impress me every day I talk to you, my dear. You're doing such good work.
Well, thank you, and you are too down there in Southeast Florida, and I want you to, or maybe, are you South Central? Where are you?
Yeah,
exactly?
South Central. I'm
South
just
Central.
North of
you're
Palm Beach and south of the Space Coast. So, yeah, they call it the Treasure Coast, but.
I think I had a flat tire on I-95 very close to you a couple of weeks ago on the way home from the Democratic Women's Club convention.
We're known for our sharp opinion. Hopefully that wasn't it.
Yes.
Let me ask you one
other quick.
Go ahead.
And well, I just want to very quickly mention we've got two Planned Parenthood events coming up over the next few months in Tampa. One's in February, the annual Choice Luncheon, and also in the spring we're doing a fundraiser. And Orlando is doing one on October 14th with Liz Winstead. I'm sure you're familiar with Liz Winstead. Mm-hmm. She's a great progressive. She was one of the, I think, creators of The Daily Show, and she's going to be over there doing a comedy night fundraiser for the Central Florida Planned Parenthood. So anybody that supports Planned Parenthood and opposes what Cliff Stearns is doing with the investigations in the Congress needs to support every effort they can that Planned Parenthood is doing right now.
Well, that's excellent. What's that date again?
October 14th. It's Friday night in Orlando.
Okay.
And if you go to the, there's a Facebook event set up for it that people
okay.
can find.
I did want to mention to you two things. Number one, Helen Caldicott is going to be in the Tampa area, brought by the Physicians for Social Responsibility. She'll be talking on October 6th about environmental
uh-huh.
issues regarding nuclear power and nuclear waste. So you might want to pass that along. Another thing I want to ask you about is, have you heard much about the Awake Tampa, which just started up this past weekend, I think?
You mean Occupy Tampa?
Excuse me, right, Occupy
yes,
Tampa.
Yes,
right.
I wasn't able to go yesterday. I heard they had, my son's friend was there, and he said about 150 people. And some of the comments I saw today on it online were very positive, that it was a great event, very well organized. So I'm hoping that we can continue to build here what got started last winter with Awake the State, and what is continuing with Awake the State, and now with Occupy Tampa. I think so many things are bubbling up around the country and around the world, really, and I think that this is something's happening, and I think it's time to really take advantage and use our organizing skills we've been building over the last, you know, so many years, and really make this a very productive effort.
Absolutely. There was a wonderful story in the St. Petersburg paper about how pension funds were siphoned off. You might want to take a look at that if you haven't seen it yet. An interesting story about corruption and double dealing with the head of the Florida pensions, and how they've sent money to some former old good old boys in the pension business, mortgage business. An interesting story. I've got my next guest on, so Susan, if you'd like to stay on, you're welcome to, and if you need to leave, I understand. Let me bring on...
I'm going to have to run, but thanks for having me, and hello to my other friends who are going to be calling in.
Thanks so much, Susan. You take
care.
Keep
up the good work, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hi, is this Amy?
Yes, it is, Rick.
Welcome, Amy. Welcome.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you invite me on your show, and it was great to hear Susan. I met Susan at the last Democratic convention, actually, with Allison, so it was good to hear her voice.
She's a hard worker just like you, and, you know, Amy, you've always been involved in so many wonderful things, and I want you to tell us what's on your front burner, but please first tell us about your new show, when we can find it, and tell us all about it.
Well, it's a very exciting, we have now in Brevard County Progressive Radio. It's actually on the radio station plus the internet. It's on AM 1300, which is WMEL, the Talk to Me station. And we are going on every Saturday at 9, and I can have whoever I want, and we're talking about whatever we want. So we're going to rile up the conservatives and call it the task and tell people what's going on in the progressive community. Now, there's two different ways people can get involved with it. They can go on Facebook and like the Amy Tidd Show, or they can go on Twitter. It's at Amy Tidd. I actually am going to be taking questions from Twitter, was how I did it on Saturday. Our first guest, we were talking about all the union busting that's been going on the last year or so. I know that you've been watching, like, Wisconsin and what's going on in all the different states. And it's going on right here because of ALEC, which is a group that sends around legislation for our Republican legislators to enact. And so we've had all of our fire and police and teachers attacked. And so we spent some time talking about that.
It always puzzles me how these people who claim to be in favor of the Constitution somehow seem to forget that government is not a bad thing. Government is we the people.
It is. It's we the people taking care of the people, doing things that are needed in order to take care of the most vulnerable in our population. So I will be next week we're going to be talking about the DREAM Act. We're going to have people from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So we're going to be talking immigration, some hot issues, and that will be Saturday at 9. Now, I did want to give a shout-out to Occupy Wall Street, but we actually have Occupy Orlando going on this week, Wednesday. Don't know if you heard about that.
Yes, I did. I saw Tampa had a Occupy Tampa this past weekend. It was wonderful from what I heard.
Okay, well, Occupy Orlando is going to be Wednesday, 7 o'clock. It's going to be at the Orange County Regional History Center. I'm not really sure where that is, but 65 East Central Boulevard. And they have a Facebook page. So people are getting organized, they're getting active, and that's what my show is going to be about. Now, you know me a little bit, Rick. When I get involved, I pull people in, because the greatest thing we can do is involve other people. We cannot
Absolutely.
Do anything by ourselves, but if we light the fire and we help other people reach their potential, then we can do great things. And so my show is going to have homework, probably.
Well,
we all have to work hard. I mean, there's a lot of issues.
That's for sure. I remember last fall I attended a wonderful Space Coast Progressive event. Is that in the works this year?
Yes, that's Progressive Voices. It's going to be November 5th, which is actually a Saturday, and I hope to have the two gentlemen who are speaking on my show in the morning, Alan Grayson and another gentleman. I don't have that right now. So that's going to be – we have a really good progressive group here in Brevard County, and – we're getting organized. It's taken a while, but there's a lot of good things happening. Just wanted to run down really quickly some of the upcoming topics on my show so people
Please
know.
Please do.
We're going to be talking redistricting. We're going to have people on from talking about Obama and the jobs bill and how we need to pass it. We have some city and state budget issues, so we're going to have a commissioner on talking about the Brevard County budget. Actually some scientists with global warming, oil drilling, women's rights, you know, this whole, and then probably really focusing on the Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, how they're trying to cut programs that help our seniors, you know, stay fed and stay housed and all that. So it's going to be a local and national issues. So it's going to, we're really pleased. This came up just pretty much overnight. We're going to make a great success of it here.
So the Amy Tidd Show, and they can find it through the Facebook and also...
Yeah, Facebook. You can send me a message on Twitter. It's at Amy Tidd, T-I-D-D. And we're all going to have a website, but it's am1300.com. And if you go to the website, it's live stream. So we're going
okay.
to reach out to the whole – actually had people from Canada and Washington State listening on my first show. So it was
That's
a huge
great.
Success. Yeah, the radio show was just amazing. They're like, we've never had this many people listening on a Saturday morning on the Internet. So we're going to reach out and love to – thank you for having me on here to tell you about it. But I will be at the Awake the State event coming up. I've signed up for that. That's where I met you. We were talking about the environment.
Right.
And so hopefully we can talk some more then about what more can be done to organize Florida.
Yeah, there's another wonderful show that we're also cross-promoting with so people know about it. You know, I think there's so many good, intelligent progressives getting on the air now. The show I'd like to mention to you also is called Here Be Monsters. It's on from 6 to 7 Sunday nights. And it's put together by a wonderful woman named Gwen Berry, and she's simulcasting every day during Occupy Wall Street from 11 to 1, talking about issues related to the occupation of Wall Street. Amy, thank you so much for coming on. And anytime
okay,
we can be helpful to you, you come back on anytime, okay?
Okay, thanks, Rick. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, that was great. That was Amy Tidd, and let's make sure we watch for Amy Tidd at 13 on the AM dial and also online. Ed, listen, we didn't get a chance for you to talk a little bit more about what people should either expect or how they should get ready for Occupy Wall Street.
Well, it's actually not Occupy Wall Street. It's,
Excuse me.
The October 2011 movement. And what we are doing is we're going to be occupying Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. The plan is to assemble many thousands of people who have committed to come. The first day we're going to have a lot of organizing and entertainment. After that, it will be educational work and direct action. Pretty much you choose whatever way you want to do it. Organization committee has identified 15 separate areas of policy that they'd like to form committees and have these policy areas be debated and people come up with proposals. And so this is a long-term thing because, I mean, we didn't get into this mess overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. The idea is to actually have some content. The people on Wall Street seem to be sort of reveling in just in not having much in the way of content. And that's fine. That's an okay way to do it, and I'm inspired by what they're doing. But the October 2011 movement in Washington is going to be a little different. This has been in the organizational works for 4 to 6 months easily. And it's got some really experienced people behind it. So the idea is to do something on, do an occupation, but do it on a somewhat higher level of organization and policies, let's say.
Ed, have they suggested what people should bring, sleeping bags or tents or food materials? Has there been any guidelines like that? I know you mentioned in the past that there are some share the ride things set up.
Yeah, the share the ride things are around. People are going to be doing various things. First of all, a geezer like myself, I'm not planning to sleep on the ground. I don't even like camping when you can do it well. What I personally have done is I've trying to do this on the cheap. I've reserved a bed in a hostel, and wow. So at least for myself, I will have a bed and a roof and a place to take a shower and a place to wash my clothes. There are people who are planning to sleep in the park. The group has arranged for sleeping spaces in various churches and public buildings in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, things depend on weather. It also depends on what we get away with.
Fire Sign Theater used to say, weather and authorities permitting.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it. We do have a permit for our action in the park for 4 days. It's a little unclear whether that includes staying over. And it's also unclear what's going to happen on the fifth day. Our idea is to hold the park in some way. If we get chased out, we'll just come back the next day and do it again. And so there's going to be a certain amount of playing the hand that we're dealt. On the other hand, the overarching idea is to make an impression, to inspire others, and to get our message out. And so that's what we're really trying to do.
I know in the past events I've been involved in, there's always kind of a two-sided argument. Do you ask for a permit, therefore seem to be beholding to the authorities to allow the free assembly that is guaranteed in the Constitution? And the other school is, look, why create problems that don't need to be there? Get it legal, and then this way you're fighting a different battle rather than authorization.
Middle ground. We have permits to do some things in the area for some number of days. So at least we'll be able to move in, and then after that, we'll see what happens. And I understand that, but, I mean, the point is not to be disruptive. The point is to make a point. The point is to get some attention. The point is to take our national conversation about the future of our country and move it forward, and which is going to involve getting people's attention. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, thank you so much, Ed. I've got Mario on the other line, so I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to stick around, you're welcome to, but if you need to go, that's fine. Thank you again, Ed, so much for talking to us about the October 2011 event.
Yeah, actually, I will stick around because if there's a moment on the end, there's a local event next weekend that I'd like to plug.
Fantastic.
So I'll just happily
okay.
wait.
Good, good. Mario, welcome.
Hey. Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Very good, my friend. Very good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. It's a little chilly up here in Burlington, but I'm getting used to it.
Well, listen, you know, there's so many interesting topics and things that you're involved in. Why don't you tell us what we should know from your perspective right now, sir?
Well, one of the conversations I was having with some friends, some of my wonderful Democracy for America cohorts, is a lot of people are talking about the differences between right now and 2008 among the punditry,
mm-hmm.
but they're looking at the wrong thing. This isn't 2008. It's 2006. That's the elections we should be looking at. It's if you go back to that point, we didn't have a great, robust field of candidates out early and making a difference. We weren't having as much success messaging as we did in 2008. We were just starting to see the anti-war bubble starting to get to the point where it might make a difference in elections. And as we look at Occupy Wall Street and we look at Elizabeth Warren's campaign taking off the way it did, that's what I'm seeing here. And so we see this Republican field from Newt Gingrich saying that gay marriage is an aberration to Rick Perry saying, I'm not sure which side of the fence he's on today. well, he's trying to attack Mitt Romney, who also I don't know what his positions are today. We don't know what the field's going to look like. We don't know who the final candidates are when the Republicans decide their nominee, and we don't know who's going to win. But we do know what the big issues should be. They should be jobs. They should be the economy. They should be the crooks on Wall Street and the corporations taking the slice of wealth without providing returns for their usage of public utilities, public lands, the pollution that they're dumping in. And people are getting fed up. And like you've talked a little bit about Occupy Wall Street and what we're seeing there, I see a very positive landscape for 2012. But I don't think we're going to see it fully developed until midsummer, as we saw in 2006. Jim Webb's campaign wasn't even on the map until the Macaca moment happened in the middle of the summer. Claire McCaskill's campaign didn't really have it was competitive. But nobody was saying she's going to win until Michael J. Fox started doing TV ads for her, and that was in the fall. Tester was on the map, but it was Montana and nobody cared. We picked up 6 seats that cycle. None of those candidates were front-runner big stories in 2005. All of them came out in the spring of 2006 and later. And so that's what I'm looking for. It's right now, and that's what I want to say, is let's find more of those candidates. Let's find the next candidate to join Elizabeth Warren and Alan Grayson standing up and speaking out. Let's find somebody to run out in the Pacific Coast to carry it out there, because while we have Florida and Massachusetts, we have those strong candidates. We don't have the other side of the country really having that voice right now. We could use a few in the middle of the country. We could certainly use somebody in Texas. And if you want to look at the presidential strategy, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia and Florida, that's where this is going to be won and lost. And we need more candidates coming forward, but we do have a little bit of time.
I have so many questions I want to ask you, because I rarely get a chance to talk to a campaign professional like yourself. The first thing I want to ask you, and again, if this is not an area you've paid attention to, just pass on it, that's fine. What do you make of the huge disparity in funds? You know, I mean, I send money to very few politicians. I don't think Elizabeth Warren's a politician. I sent her money the first day of her campaign. What about the huge disparity? All that hedge fund money, I see numbers that he's like 15, 20 times more money than she has. Do you think moral suasion is going to carry her through the day?
Well, first of all, Elizabeth Warren's not going to have a shortage of money in her campaign. I'm not concerned about that. She will do the work. She does have the staff to do the fundraising, and she has a powerful enough voice to get out there and do it, and it's Massachusetts. And so let's talk about the real situation when you talk about campaign finances, what we call a saturation level, saturation rate. And so depending on what your district is and what your election is and what campaign styles each side chooses, there's a dollar amount where above that you're not moving any votes. And so if you want to look at Meg Whitman, $170-something million dollars out of her own pocket, another $20-plus million dollars raised. The saturation rate for most campaigns in California, particularly run in the style she did, is somewhere between $35 and $55 million. If she would have written me a check for the rest, she would have done just as well.
Uh-huh. All right, let me ask you this.
So in Massachusetts' case, I mean, I think anywhere between $8 and $15 million will be competitive. It's certainly going to be expensive. Boston is not a cheap media market.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be money that decides that election. It's going to be who connects with the people and does the field work to get them to show up and vote.
I think it's absolutely amazing that her brilliant comments were being used by the other side as if they were bad statements that somehow prejudiced her case.
Yeah, I mean, we've become so disconnected from reality with regard to some of this political messaging that's going on. The Republicans booing the gay soldier asking his question about don't ask, don't tell. If that had happened even at a Republican debate 20 years ago, none of the candidates would have stayed on the stage until the people that booed were removed.
I mean, they
would have called them out. They would have said something. And here we are, and Republicans are being cheered for executions. They're being cheered for saying no to health care for children and elderly and no to Social Security. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to pick up the campaign position with Ron Paul, do you?
No, I'm not looking for that job or any of the other Republicans.
If nothing else, he's a man of his word. He'd rather see his campaign manager die, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was really an amazing story that, at the very least, at the end of it, he could have said, I'm sorry it ended this way, but he didn't. He really didn't. And
they cheered. They cheered.
Yeah. Disturbing. But I'm working for a great candidate up here in Burlington. I'm happy to be doing this. His name's Jason Lorber. He's a four-term state rep. Openly gay, MBA from Stanford, and he was one of the most passionate speakers on the marriage equality fight here, and he's done a lot of great work with keeping local jobs local, and Farm to Plate is one of the programs he's very proud of having worked on, and he learns and he listens and he works his ass off, and I think that's what we need in this country.
What position is he running for?
He's running to be mayor of Burlington, which is not exactly what we would call a metropolis. And so every dollar we get is 1,000 times more effective than it is in a congressional campaign. Our budgets are much smaller.
Well, isn't that what they call building the backfield, right?
Building the bench, right. And so we that's one of the reasons why I chose to come up and do this. But I look at candidates like Jason and I wonder why we're not finding more of them around the country, why we as a party, why we as progressives aren't doing more. And I have to clarify, small P progressive. I'm here in Burlington where the big P progressive party is in power and not really demonstrating progressive values in power. But we as small P progressives need to find more of these great candidates, more of these people that will learn and listen to be better candidates and will work their butts off to get into office and then stand up for our values. Too many people get sent to Washington, and the first thing they do is say, if I want to get reelected, I have to behave differently. I have to live by different rules. I have to kind of be ashamed of my values. And, the folks like Elizabeth Warren, the folks like Al Franken, Alan Grayson, we need to be staunch defenders of them because they're willing to stand up and say, yes, I am a progressive. Yes, I am a believer that government should be open and transparent and that that people have a right to health care.
Well, thank you so very much. Is there any other important thing you want our audience to know before we go?
I want everybody to know that the fight's started a while ago. It's time to suit up and get into the battle, whether it be finding candidates and recruiting them and directing them to the organizations and individuals that can help them, or running yourself from right on down to the local dog catcher, city council, school board. Those are the fights we're losing a lot to the Republicans and particularly to the hard conservatives. We need to be suiting up, and it's time to start. If you want to organize for the presidential candidate, Obama's running, and we can't lose the Supreme Court. We have to have the presidency. We have to do what we can to give him a Democratic House and a progressive House at that. So that's really where I'm at. And Jason Orber's running. His website is friendsofjason.com. I'm working on that campaign, and you can follow my consulting business and my comments at mpapolitical.com.
Thanks so much, Mario. Keep up the good work, man. Good luck with your candidate.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, buddy. Anytime. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Ed, you've got about 2 minutes, buddy, to go ahead.
Well, yeah, he was inspiring. He's suiting up for the electoral process, and I'm suiting up for the streets. Now, room for everybody, buddy. Yeah. A couple things. First of all, I encourage everyone to check into the website, October2011.org. It's a wonderful website, very inspiring. Starting on October 6th, which is when our action begins, there will be live streaming. So if you go to the website, you'll be able to, on the home page, there'll be some kind of links to home streaming or live streaming, so you'll be able to see what we're doing. And the other thing is, for those who cannot get to Washington next weekend, there is the people at SOA Watch, School of the Americas Watch, are doing an action at Southcom. Southcom is in Doral. It's the military command for those people that invade us all the time, the Americas. So there are hundreds of people that work there just to make sure we're safe from invasion from Ecuador and Guatemala and stuff. So anyway, and they also run the School of the Americas, which is a pretty hateful institution. So anyway, if anyone is looking for something to do next weekend here in town, Google SOA Watch, and you'll be able to figure out what's going on. There's demonstrations out at in the Doral area, and it's run by good people from Veterans for Peace and SOA Watch, and I support them wholeheartedly. If I wasn't going to be in D.C., I would be there myself.
Well, thank you so much, brother. You have a real good time in D.C., and if you can, send in some reports, okay?
Okay. I'll see what I can do. I'll certainly talk to you when I get back. And thank you very much for having me on, and thanks very much for supporting October 2011.
You bet. Thanks so much.
Good night, Rick.
Good night, buddy. So on behalf of myself, Richard Spezak, and my co-producer, Mickey Royce of the Media Goddess Worldwide, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to mention our sponsors, Imagineering Productions, Web Media, and SEO Specialists, and also the Media Goddess Worldwide, a wonderful organization to get your message out. Also want to mention, once again, don't forget to tune in to Gwen Berry's Here Be Monsters. That's from 6 to 7 on Blog Talk Radio. And also Helen Caldicott, October 6th in Tampa, brought to you by Physicians for Social Responsibility. And, of course, joining the broadcast universe, Amy Tidd's show on WMEL AM 1300, both on the radio and through the web. I also want to thank our good friends at Plan and Newsstand Media who've been simulcasting our show. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. See you next week.
Okay, friends. Good night.